All news channels on cable TV didn't exist when Dan Rather began his career, but their audience and influence have grown. Commentator Drew Weston studies the way that psychology and politics intersect, and he says a familiar format in cable TV news works with the way our brains are wired.
We've grown accustomed to hearing two versions of every story, one from the left and one from the right.
In the crossfire.
As if the average of two distortions equals the truth.
We're going to make sure everybody gets heard during this segment.
You've seen this on TV. Joining us now, a journalist provides the skeleton of a story. It's then up to partisans to try to graft flesh onto one side or the other of its clanking bones. A few weeks ago, for example, I heard a news anchor begin a segment about missing explosives at the Al-Qaqa munitions dump in Iraq. He described claims that weapons were missing and then handed it over to a Democrat and a Republican to dress the skeleton in red or blue. In fact, however, the munitions were missing, and the subject of the debate that followed, when they disappeared, was a question of fact, not interpretation, unless, of course, Democrats and Republicans live in different time zones. Unfortunately, this format, from the left, from the right, capitalizes on a design flaw in the human brain. We have a tendency to believe what we want to believe. We seek information and draw conclusions consistent with what we want to be true. I've been studying this kind of emotion-driven political thinking over the last several years, and the results are sobering. For example, during the disputed election of 2000, we could predict whether people would believe that manual or machine counts are more accurate just by knowing their feelings towards the two parties and the two candidates. When people draw conclusions about political events, they're not just weighing the facts. Without knowing it, they're also weighing what they would feel if they came to one conclusion or another. And they often come to the conclusion that would make them feel better, no matter what the facts are. An experiment completed right before the election shows just how powerful these emotional pulls can be. Here's what we told the participants. A soldier at Abu Ghraib prison was charged with torturing prisoners. He wanted the right to subpoena senior administration officials. He claimed he'd been informed the administration had suspended the Geneva Conventions. We gave different people different amounts of evidence supporting his claims. For some, the evidence was minimal. For others, it was overwhelming. In fact, the evidence barely mattered. 84% of the time, we could predict whether people believed the evidence was sufficient to subpoena Donald Rumsfeld based on just three things: the extent to which they liked Republicans, the extent to which they liked the U.S. military, and the extent to which they liked human rights groups like Amnesty International. Adding the evidence into the equation allowed us to increase the prediction from 84% to 85%. Our readiness to believe what we want to believe makes it all the more important for journalists to distinguish what's debatable from what's not. The line between facts and interpretations isn't always easy to draw, but presenting fact as opinion is not objective reporting. It isn't objective to preface news that's unflattering to one side or the other with phrases like "critics claim" when it doesn't take a critic to claim it. There's nothing like a healthy debate, but there's nothing as unhealthy as a debate about the undebatable.
Drew Weston teaches psychology at Emory University.